on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Graham Greene is one of those actors whose name you may not know, but you've seen him in a lot of movies, right, Dean?
He has been in lots and lots of movies. I think we probably know him best from Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner. He was the primary Native American character that reached out to learn about Kevin Costner's character, the white man. He was also in movies like Die Hard with a Vengeance and The Green Mile. He was in the TV series Tulsa King and Reservation Dogs. He died over the weekend, reason why we're talking about him, sadly, and only 73 years old.
A happier bit of news from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and this was a nice moment for him, wasn't it?
Beautiful moment. The Venice Film Festival is going on right now. This is probably the first major film festival of the year, and the first time every year that we get a look at the movies that will be up for Oscar contention. That's where they're usually revealed. And the new Bruce Springsteen movie is one of the ones that people have been talking about. There is a Kim Novak documentary that everybody is talking about. And this film in which Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars, where he plays a former amateur wrestler turned MMA fighter Mark Kerr. The movie is called Smashing Machine. And they showed it in Venice last night, and it got a 15-minute standing ovation. And, you know, Dwayne Johnson, big old Dwayne, you know, Johnson, broke down into tears. He was that moved. He certainly has had tons of commercially successful movies, but this one is, you know, a little bit more dramatic. And people who have seen it say there could be an Oscar nomination for Johnson that could follow all of this. So look for The Smashing Machine. It's scheduled to come to theaters right now, October the 3rd. But a really touching moment of watching the Rock, you know, break down, out of control breakdown.
How about that? And this is no surprise, the new Taylor Swift album breaking all sorts of records already.
Yeah, well, this gives us a break from talking about the wedding for at least one day. We either talk about the wedding or we talk about how she's broken some new record. And she has with this new album that she just announced. It's not even out yet. It's not even available yet. And it already has become the most pre-saved album in Spotify's streaming service history. They haven't given any records on this, but there are more pre-orders for this album than any other album at any time. The previous record holder of this honor was Taylor Swift for her last album.
Of course.
Tortured Poets Department that got 300 million plays in one day, a billion plays over 5 days. The last album also made her the first artist in history to snag all top 14 spots in the Billboard Hot 100. I don't know, no other artist has ever done that. But this new album is called Life of a Showgirl. Comes out October the 3rd, and we'll get back to, you know, to ridiculous stories about her wedding starting tomorrow.
Yeah, more on the engagement ring.
Right, the engagement.
Shortly.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
We will give you some Harry Potter news, and we will hear from Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon with Dean Richards momentarily. The Harry Potter TV series is taking shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not even going to be on until 2027, but they are lining up actors, announcing who's going to be in it. Nick Frost is going to be one of the characters in it that we know. A lot of unknown actors to play Harry and Hermione and Ron. But a pretty big character is returning from the movie series into the TV series. Actor Warwick Davis, if you don't know his real name, he played Professor Phileas Flitwick in all but one of the Harry Potter movies. He will be part of this new HBO series. What they're planning on doing is taking a Harry Potter book and turning that into an entire season of its own. So they'll have, one season per book. As I say, it'll debut in 2027. So get your magic wands ready and round glasses ready for all that.
Yeah, cloak of invisibility.
Right. That's right.
Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon are making the rounds. What are they promoting these days?
They are part of this new movie, The Roses, that I've been talking about. This is the one that stars Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman. Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon play their best friends in the movie, and it's kind of an interesting combination, because here you have this British acting royalty of Benedict and Olivia, and American comedy royalty from SNL, Samberg and Kate McKinnon, and it all melds together. As I had talked about with this movie, it's not like the original War of the Roses. It's not as mean, but what I really loved about it was the brilliant, absolutely brilliant writing and great dialogue and amazing chemistry, not only for Benedict and Olivia, but for Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon. Is that tangible when you're making the movie? Can you feel all of that?
Certainly in watching Benedict and Olivia work, I think it was clear as soon as we showed up that they were firing on all cylinders. For us, I think we knew that we would find the comedy part of it, no problem.
What I didn't expect exactly was the group cohesing in the way that it did. We all eight of us just went out to dinner every night and became so, it was just a good group. It just was like magic. It was so fun to shoot on and off screen.
Definitely a little intimidated by their pedigree as actors, but I understood what my job was, which is really the only thing that makes me nervous is when I don't know what I'm supposed to do in a situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, certainly going in being like, holy cow, these are two of our best working right now. This is going to be interesting.
The banter is vicious and cutting and brilliant. But they love each other. They get such a kick out of each other in the beginning. And throughout their relationship, it's almost as if the wit of the banter is like they're delighting in each other even as they're cutting each other down.
Hey, Kate, we're looking forward to you coming to Chicago for the Humanities Festival.
Oh, I'm excited.
October 4th.
Yeah.
To hear more about your follow-up to your children's book.
I'm so excited. I had the best time there last year, and I'm so excited to come back.
Yeah, she's going to talk about, she had a very successful children's book two years ago, something like that. Now she's got a follow-up to it, and she'll be at the Humanities Festival talking about this new project that she's got. It's going to be October 4th. If you want to get more info on that, you can go to chicagohumanities.org. They have a whole lineup of lots and lots of interesting authors and speakers and writers coming in, as they always do. So that'll be fun.
And now we get to Dean's Celebrity Real Estate Report today.
Yes, this is where I slip on my yellow Century 21 jacket and give you my latest listings. This one actually is already sold, but it is an 8,400-square-foot mansion in Los Angeles. Used to be the home of the lead guitarist of the group The Killers, who purchased the house for $10 million. Now, just the other day, Brad Pitt has purchased the home. He paid $12 million for it, a nice profit for the Killers guitarist. It features 6 bedrooms, an office, a theater, an outdoor garden, an outdoor kitchen, also a swimming pool. There is also a room that is wall-to-wall guitars. You know, I think left over. It was a picture in the listings. So usually when they're pictured in the listings, you know, they come with a house. So I don't know if Brad Pitt plays the guitar or not, but apparently he's got quite a few of them to add to his collection now.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Well, over the weekend, I saw The Naked Gun.
Oh, good.
And no. Not good. What? I differ with you on this.
You didn't laugh a little bit?
Oh, no, definitely a few laughs, but it made me mad, and I'll tell you why. I was such a fan of the guys who did Airplane and the original Police Squad.
The Zucker Brothers, yeah.
Because it was so smart, the humor, and subtle at times. And this, I thought, was not the case with Naked Gun. And I know it was short, and that was a good thing, but that was my problem with it. Isn't that weird that it made me mad to see that?
That I've not heard that reaction from the movie where you come out angry yes. at the whole thing. I have felt that way coming out of movies, thinking there's 2 hours that I'm never going to get back. But in Naked Gun's case, it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, and that's true.
It's just like silly, turn your mind off.
Mm, yeah, I know.
You know, just like a time killer.
Yeah, but to me, the brilliant thing about those Police Squad and Airplane movies, it was smart humor. It was more subtle. But then again, I see therapists all the time, so I got problems. As you say, everybody's got their own opinion.
There's definitely something for everyone, and I'm not going to go so far as to say that I think the movie is a good movie, but I did laugh. I laughed more than I thought. Yeah. I went in mad. I think there's the difference. I went in angry, thinking this is going to be awful because there's no way you can top Leslie Nielsen. There's no way that you can top that subtle comedy from, you know, all the rest. And I sat there and I did laugh out loud several times. When I came out, it's like, all right, I got to say I was entertained for 90 minutes.
Well, so. I'm taking you with next time. Leave Marianne home. Thank you, Dean.